Morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 20. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual morality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Brothers and sisters, arise and hear the good news. The blessing we receive in the promise of comfort and forgiveness is the assurance that God forgives us our sins for Jesus' sake. This is no small blessing. When we confess our sins in Jesus' name, God forgives us our sins and promises to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hear this, brothers and sisters. Hear this as God the Father telling us, I love you. You are my children. Believe this glorious promise and rejoice in the comfort God has given us in His Son by His Spirit. Amen. Let us respond with joyful song for the Lord's grace He's shown us in His Son, Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God conforms us by His Word to be more like Christ Jesus our Lord. We have fallen in sin and we've become corrupted. But the Spirit shapes us and changes us, teaches us to hate our sin and to love righteousness. So let us hear God's will for life this morning so we may perfectly love God by obeying Him, sanctified in Christ by His Spirit. God's will for life this morning is taken from Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. These are the words of God. To the angel of the church in Pergamum write, these are the words of him who has the sharp, double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us go to him now in prayer and ask for the Spirit's blessing on the reading and proclamation of his word. Will you pray with me? O Lord, our shield and defense of all those who love thee, hear thy poor servants who call upon thee in truth, and deliver them from their enemies. And for as much as there is nothing better than to acknowledge and follow thy holy will, chase us from all darkness of error and ignorance, and let thy light so shine over us, thy poor church, that being strengthened by your strength, we may employ ourselves wholly in setting forth thy praises through Jesus Christ, thy dear Son. May your Spirit, Lord, give us ears to hear and minds to understand. Move us, Lord, create in us a new, clean heart to love your truth and to love serving you and our neighbor. And move us, Lord, to be zealous, to be joyful in serving you, not just in these four walls, but in the world where you send us. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prepare to hear God's word proclaimed, let us prepare our souls with joyful song. We stand together and sing upon the throne of heavenly grace. Our sermon text this morning is in Joshua chapter 7, 1 through 26. Joshua 7, 1 through 26. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is being read in your hearing. Hear it with faith and do not harden your hearts. But the Israelites acted unfaithfully in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, "Go up and spy out the region." So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, "Not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary all the people, for only a few men are there." So about 3,000 men went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Ah, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they'll surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Go, consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. That which is devoted is among you, O Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. In the morning, present yourselves tribe by tribe. The tribe that the Lord takes shall come forward clan by clan. The clan that the Lord takes shall come forward family by family. And the family that the Lord takes shall come forward man by man. He who is caught with the devoted things shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was taken. The clans of Judah came forward, and he took the Zerahites. He had the clan of the Zerahites come forward by families, and Zimri was taken. Joshua had his family come forward man by man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, was taken. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Achan replied, "It is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw in the plunder a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent, with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold wedge, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys, and sheep, his tent, and all that he had, to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all Israel stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. Over Achan they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. May the Lord bless unto us this day the reading of his holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable to us. Now, as we read through Holy Scripture, as we've done this morning in three select passages, Scripture addresses specific issues at a specific time to a specific people. For example, we just heard Joshua and Achan's sin concerning the people of Israel. We also heard earlier from Paul's letter to the Corinthian church that addressed specific issues to the Corinthians. And then we heard from Revelation 2, Jesus' letter to the church of Pergamum. Now again, they speak to specific issues at a specific time to a specific people. But God's word is profitable for us. So we are to hear God's word, and we are to receive it by faith and hear it with wisdom on how we apply it to our present situation today. Today's message, I wanted to speak to an issue in our denomination, the Reformed Church in America. Since Friday, representatives and leaders of the RCA have been meeting in Chicago to decide a way forward for our denomination, specifically concerning the sexual sin of homosexuality. Now, this has been an issue in the RCA for over 30 years. The RCA has been debating this issue. This includes study committees to go back to the Scriptures and see what the Scriptures say, debates, whether locally or at general synod level, and has also been debated concerning different approaches to ministry and, frankly, different interpretations of the gospel. If you have a person struggling with the sin of homosexuality, where one church can say, turn from this sin, Jesus sets you free and he forgives you from it, don't do it anymore. And another church can say, that is a blessing from God, indulge in it. Those are two different messages. And frankly, they're two different gospels. Either Jesus forgives us and sets us free from the sin of homosexuality, or he doesn't. Now, as the local church of Hamlin reformed, we are far removed from the national, international workings of our denominational leadership. You probably feel that. You're not in Grand Rapids. We are far, far removed from many of the liberal churches on the East Coast and in the Midwest that are directly involved with this issue day to day. They have people struggling with the sin of homosexuality coming in and out of their churches. Given our situation, given this reality, we can resign ourselves to just local matters. Let's just be Hamlin Reformed. Let's just be the church here. Let's not worry about what's going on out there. It doesn't affect us. That would be a way to respond to it. The Lord reveals in his word the importance of the issue of sin and how his people ought to view it. We recently celebrated the resurrection on Easter Sunday, where due to Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, we can rejoice in the truths of Scripture, where the Apostle Paul writes that we are dead to sin. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we are dead to sin. Isn't that a glorious truth? We don't have to sin anymore. We've been set free. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to lead us in faithfulness, obedience, keeping covenant with him. That we don't have to commit the sins of the world. And we hear this morning from Joshua 7 on the tasks God has given his people to carry out, his plan, and how that looks without his power and protection. God sent the Israelites into the promised land. They had to remove the Canaanites from that land. He promised to bless them in doing this. If you go back and read Joshua 6, the Israelites took down the city of kids. What city did they take down first? Lee? Jericho. And what did they have to do to take down Jericho? Walk around. And then blow trumpets and shout, and the walls came down. That's all they had to do. It was salvation by grace. God did it all. But we hear in Joshua 7, the next city, Ai, the people there chased the Israelites away and defeated them. Why did that happen? Didn't God promise to bless them? He took down Jericho without any problems. Dean, you have an answer? Yep, Achan took stuff from Jericho that he wasn't supposed to. Okay, now I'm off script. No, the question rhetorically is, did God break his promise? No. And we hear from his word, verses 11 and 12. God says, Israel has sinned. Israel has sinned. Dean, who took the devoted things? Achan. But God says, Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. God could have said, one man did it. But he put it on the whole nation. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I, the Lord, will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Don't lose sight of the fact that God doesn't say, he didn't put it all on Achan. He put it on the nation. And that's relevant. God's people were carrying out their God-given responsibilities. But he did not bless them because of sin. sin was in the camp of Israel. Now, the church today is struggling. We are losing the culture war to the pagans, and churches are hemorrhaging members. Frankly, it is a difficult argument to make, though you can make it, but it's difficult to make that the U.S. is still a Christian nation. And front and center for our nation and for the church are the issues of the difference between men and women, family, marriage, sex, and the issue of homosexuality. Our denomination didn't just drift yesterday. The RCA has been moving away from the biblical models in all of these matters. And today, we have the issue of homosexuality right before us, front and center. Something has to give. Now, the RCA is no different than the other churches in this country, where we are losing members. We are shrinking as a denomination. We have the ministry of the gospel to make disciples. We have to minister the gospel to those both inside the church and evangelize those outside the church to bring them in. That is our task as the church. And we are struggling with this, both the RCA and the American church, failing in this, not faithfully carrying out our task, the Great Commission Christ gave His church. Why? Because we have sin in the camp. If God is sovereign, and He is, then He is Lord of the RCA. He decides how our denomination grows and shrinks. He decides how effective we are in ministry, how fruitful our ministries are. And He decides if He's going to bless or curse our churches if there is sin in the camp. Let's stop there and have the kids come forward for the children's message, please. Can you see your eyes on me? Good job, eyes. Good job. The Lord be with you. All right, I want to talk about the cross of Jesus Christ. Who can raise their hand and tell me what do we gain, what blessing do we receive because of Jesus' death on the cross? Think about why did Jesus have to die? Dean? To forgive our sins. To forgive our sins. Is that what you were going to say? Is that what you guys were going to say? Okay, good. You'd be right. Are you going to say that too? Mm-hmm. All right. Jesus died on the cross to forgive our sins. Now, raise your hand if you've ever gotten into an argument with your brother or your sister. All right. Hands down. Raise your hand if you've ever disobeyed mom and dad.
No.
Okay. Hands down. Raise your hand if you've ever thought in your mind, I am really mad at somebody, or in your heart, oh, I'm really mad, I really don't like that person. Raise your hand if you ever thought that inside. You didn't do it, but you thought it. You felt it in your heart. Never? No? Hands down. Raise your hand if you never haven't told the truth before. All right. Hands down. Now, thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs is a yes. Thumbs up is a yes. Thumbs down is no. Does Jesus forgive us for getting in arguments with our brothers and sisters? Okay. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Does Jesus forgive us if we disobey mom and dad? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Does Jesus forgive us if we have anger in our heart and in our mind for somebody else? Thumbs up yes, thumbs down no. Who can raise their hand? Is there any sin that Jesus can't forgive us for? Any sin? How about really bad sins? What if I'm a thief and I steal stuff? Is that forgivable? Will Jesus forgive that? What if I kill a person? Will Jesus forgive me for that? Yeah. Jesus' blood covers all of our sins. But who can raise their hand and tell me, what do we have to do first? Repent. That means turn from the sin. And one more thing. Caleb?
Believe.
Believe. We have to believe that we're forgiven. I'm looking for one word. It starts with a C. Dean?
Say we're sorry.
Say we're sorry. The Bible doesn't tell us to say we're sorry. Tells us to do what?
Pray
and
confess
our sins. Every Sunday we come in and we confess our sins. We do a prayer of confession. And then we hear from God's word that we are his people and he is gracious and kind to forgive us our sins. Raise your hand if you agree, if you believe that. Enthusiastically. But yeah, we want to believe that. Do you believe that Jesus forgives you for your sins? Yeah? Because he does. His blood covers all of our sins, even the really naughty ones that you kids do. Jesus forgives you. And you know what he wants you to do after that? Cassie, what does he want us to do?
Repent.
And turn from them. But we need to believe that Jesus' blood was shed for all of our sins, and God forgives us. And that's a great and glorious thing. All right, so let's pray and thank God for his grace. Fold hands, close eyes. You can repeat after me. Father in heaven, thank you for saving us from our sins in your Son Jesus. Help us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to believe your promises and to repent from our sins. For Jesus' sake. Amen. All right, kiddos, you can head back to your seats. Now, the issue we're addressing here in Joshua and in the church is the issue of church discipline. Church discipline. And church discipline goes all the way back to the beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned, God cast them out from the garden. They were excommunicated because of their sin from the garden. Sin has no place within the people of God. And God takes sin so seriously that his perfect and innocent Son came to suffer and die to address it. How seriously does God the Father take sin? Jesus, the perfect Son, had to die to address it. And we are only here in the church because Jesus died for our sins. Do we still sin? Yes, sadly, but we seek forgiveness because of the sacrifice of Christ. His blood covers us. And God calls us by faith to respond to his grace by confessing our sins and trusting in his promises. Now, since God takes sin so seriously, we ought to take sin seriously too. Sin has no place within the people of God, the body of Christ. Sin cannot dwell here. We must address it. Now, each of us has a personal responsibility to repent of his own sin. When we come into the Lord's presence, we confess our own individual sins to God, and we turn from them, we repent. That is an individual responsibility. If we do not address our own sin, according to our Lord, it goes to the next level. It goes to the church. Now, this can be by a brother or sister individually rebuking us, calling us to repentance. It can be by a pastor or an elder providing pastoral care, calling us to faith and repentance. And we as the church, we all play a part in this. all of Israel stoned Achan. All of Israel did. Not just Joshua, not just the priests, all the people played a part in stoning Achan. And this is the same for our denomination, the RCA. This is not a simply a general synod leadership issue. It has to do with each local church, each pastor, each consistory, each member of the churches. We all have a responsibility to address sin in the camp. And church discipline is one of the three marks of the church. The three marks of the church. Anyone know what the three marks of the church are? I'm doing one right now. Preaching of the word. Sacraments. And the third I just told you is church discipline. So if church discipline is one of the three essential marks of the church, and a church or a denomination ceases to practice church discipline, it ceases to be a church of Christ. If a church ceases to do church discipline, it ceases to be a church of Christ. Sounds pretty important then, right? If a church does not practice church discipline, you can call it a Christian club. Call it a Christian fellowship group. Call it a church book or Christian book club. It is no longer a church of Jesus Christ. It has lost one of the marks of the church. The RCA, of which we are a part, has to address the corruption within the body. We have to get rid of sin. Now, yes, there are other sins in the RCA that need to be addressed. But this one is right in front of us. It's looking us right in the eye right now. And we have a responsibility to seek for the purity and holiness of the body. We have been praying as a church, praying as individuals, praying as leadership, and we should continue to pray for the RCA, our denomination. But we also need to recognize the importance of sin in our local body. We have to have our own house in order. It is easy to cast stones at the churches out east. They're celebrating sin. They're allowing sin to be in the body. It's easy to cast stones at the leadership. Why won't they do anything about this? They're sitting on their hands, letting it happen. If we do not discipline ourselves and our own church family here, we are doing the same thing the RCA is doing. If we don't address sin within our body, we are doing the same churches that the same thing that the liberal churches are doing out east. Because if we take sin too lightly here, we too are excusing sin. So again, this begins with our own individual lives. If you have sin in your life, confess it, repent of it, and believe that you are forgiven for Jesus' sake. If a brother or sister in the body needs restoration, provide reproof. Provide loving reproof. And if that doesn't work, you go to church leadership. Follow the biblical pattern of restoration that Jesus gives us in Matthew 18. Our denominational leadership has either been celebrating this sin or looking the other way for over 30 years. And we as churches are calling the denomination to repentance. Address this. Do something about it. Do not celebrate it. Do not just sit on your hands. Do something. The churches are telling leadership to respond. Because we all play a part in this. And that goes the same way here. If the leadership of Hamlin, if we are not addressing sin, The people have a responsibility to call us to repentance. But we all play a part in that. We have sin issues in this congregation right now. We have members who are breaking covenant with this body right now. And we all play a part in addressing sin in the camp. So if you look around this body right now, we are well aware that the body is not full right now this Sunday morning. There are people who are supposed to be here who are not here. And you know it. It does not begin with, hey, pastor, hey, elders, when are you going to address this? It starts with each member noticing the absences and getting on the phone or going to someone's house and saying, you're part of our body. Why aren't you here? You made promises to be part of the body. You made promises to regularly worship with us. You made promises to participate in the life of the body, and you're not here. We all stand up to make those promises. So it starts with all of us. And then if there is no repentance, we follow the biblical model. Now that's just one example. If someone hits you on the phone and says, hey, gossip, gossip, slander, slander, how do you respond to that? You have responsibility to address sin. Hey, we don't talk like that. We're Christians. Stop gossiping. Now, these are just a couple examples. But again, if we're going to be the body of Christ here, we have to participate in the body, and part of that is addressing sin within our family. That does not mean you're an overbearing ogre who just goes around the fellowship hall looking to correct everybody who says something that sounds a little funny. This means you address your own sin, you confess it, you believe that Jesus died for it, and we sharpen one another. Iron sharpens iron. We love and support one another. And when we do that, when we're faithful, God will bless us. But if we are not faithful, we cannot count on His blessings. Let us be faithful. When everybody around us in the world is faithless, when the church around us descends into sin, depravity, corruption, let us be faithful for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray.